This is the Friday, February 4th edition of the Daily Wager Podcast. We'll set you up in a little more than 10 minutes with everything you need to know heading into this evening and this weekend's slate of games. Welcome to the Daily Wager Podcast, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. Tyler Foljam and Anita Marks with you on this Friday morn. Anita, good afternoon to you. You're on the East Coast. It's still wretched, cold, snowy, awful weather there.
Why you gotta go there, dude?
I look outside, like, really? My window. You gotta, right, you gotta,
like, it's not like it's like it's bad enough that I have to sit here and watch, you know, copious amounts of hours of dudes teeing it up at Pebble and being so jelly that you just have to rub it in, Ty. Thanks, dude. Yeah. Thanks.
Let me throw some peanut butter on that jelly. I will be playing in a two-man scramble at my club tomorrow. And, you know, I'm going to have to bundle up and eat it because it's going to be like 58, 59. It may creep into the lower 60s. So I'm going to be, you know, freezing my arse off as well when I'm playing golf tomorrow in our two-man scramble. Speaking of which, let's start there because it's time-sensitive information. We are in round two, as you mentioned, of the AT&T Pebble Beach program down in Southern California. Spyglass, Pebble Beach, a fun event. And we saw the leaderboard after round one. Your leader at 9 under, Seamus Power at 8 under, Sean O'Hare at 7 under, but it's Tom Hogue, or is it Hoagie Hogue, at 9 under, who is your leader. But I know there was a couple of guys that you wanted to point out for their round two matchup, and they tee off, so you'll probably shortly after this post to your podcast platform. So feed the people a nice warm round two winner on the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
Yeah, you know, I love making money each and every day, Thursday through Sunday, in regard to matchups. But the matchups here, you know, Pebble is such a very unique course in regard to what you need in your bag to win. And so the juice is just, for me, too much. So, for example, like this round for Cantlay against, and again, I apologize for my pronunciations. Is it Chappell? Chappell?
I think it's minus Chappell.
There Kevin, you go, Chappell. Thank you very much. The second one gets even more difficult, so be ready, please. so Cantlay is minus 305. Like, that's just too much juice for me. So what I'm going to do is Cantlay is just so masterful. On this, not just Pebble, but in all the tracks that he plays here. And of course, they're playing three tracks throughout the course of the next 3 days. Today, Cantlay is on Spyglass, by the way, as well as Mav McNealy. So I'm playing both of those. And these are two guys that I liked coming in. If you watched my analysis on Daily Wager, I have both these guys finishing in the top five, top 10. I put money down on that. And they're both, you know, Mav has just had a phenomenal start to the season for himself out there on the West Coast. His juice is minus 210, against, is it F Burn Narat?
I know this one. It's Kiridek. This one's easy. I got you. This one, it's actually a fun one to say. It's Afi Barnrat.
There you go.
So just think Afi, like Alfie without the L. Afi Barnrat.
You had me a rat.
Barnrat.
You had me a rat.
Yeah, yeah.
You had me a rat, dude. But so his juice is minus 210. So what I'm going to do is, these guys are just such studs on Spyglass, you arguably the second most difficult course, the Monterey Coast Country Club, that is the easiest, Pebble the most difficult. So I'm going to play this as a two-way parlay round two matchup, and therefore I'm going to play Cantlay to win his matchup, McNealy to win his matchup, and you get that at minus 104. That's how I'm playing that. In regard to winning the tournament, for me, it's Jason Day. He played the most difficult course yesterday, which was Spyglass. He's probably the best. So yesterday he played Pebble. He plays Spyglass today. I'm sorry. He plays the Monterey Coast Country Club today. And he plays Spyglass on Saturday. And then that's when the cut line happens. So he is one of the best on tour to play those two final rounds today and tomorrow. And I think he's in a really good situation to really make some noise, get up there on the leaderboard where he's in contention on Sunday. And you can get him right now at 28-1 to win the tournament. So I would hashtag run, don't walk. You know, I like to say that. That's who I would, especially with those odds, Tyler, that's who I'd put money on right now to continue. I liked him coming in. He was my pick to win when this tournament began on Wednesday night into Thursday morning. And he's still my play. And right now you get him at 28-1. I'm all over it.
All right. We got for the PGA Tour fans who are rolling their eyes at us. I can confirm that first round leader, Tom Hoagie, is how you pronounce the name, like a sandwich. Tom Hoagie from the PGA Tour side. And it is Kevin Chappell. And if you don't want to have to worry about Chappell, the end of that, the last syllable, you can just call him by his nickname, which is Chappie. You can just call him Chappie if you would like. So for all the PGA Tour fans rolling their eyes at our pronunciation, Kiradek Afi Barnrat, Kevin Chappell, and Tom Hoagie, the golfers we're discussing today. Everyone knows how to pronounce, though. Jason Day, the Aussie, which is your pick at 28-1. Run, don't walk to the window for the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. All right, let's get to the NBA, a Friday slate with a couple of key matchups that are worth noting. Again, I'll let you lead it off here. Anita, what stands out to you in the association slate?
There's three games that I love right now. One is the Hawks at the Raptors. Raptors favored by two. Both these teams on a back-to-back, but Atlanta having to travel to Canada to take on the Toronto Raptors. Collins is going to be a game-time decision. He's been such a big key to why Atlanta has been playing so well. They've won four of their last five. I know that the Raptors went into overtime last night. Siakam played 45 minutes, but to me, they're still the better team. The key here is going to be their perimeter defense against the Hawks, and I do believe that they step up. They're 6-3. On their second games of back-to-back against the spread, where Atlanta is 3-6. So I'm on the Raptors. I also like the Jazz. As you know, I'm here in New York in the New Jersey area, and the Nets are just a hot mess. I mean, let's marinate in this. You know, when Harden can play 37 minutes and only put up 4 points, and when Kyrie can play 36 minutes and only put up 14, you know something is wrong, right? Like, KD's still out. Aldridge is still out. They're on a 6-game losing streak. And meanwhile, you've got a Jazz team. They're only getting better. Whiteside's back. Mitchell is expected. I know he's probable for tonight. Hopefully he suits up. Clarkson as well. So Jazz are heading in the right direction. Nets are heading in the wrong direction. So I like the Jazz tonight, -5. And then last but not least, I love the 76ers on the money line against the Mavs. The Mavs, no KP, no Hardaway. Really, where this game is going to be won is in the paint. And you're talking about Embiid, one of the best, if not best player in the NBA. So I'm all over the 76ers. I also like Embiid over 11.5 rebounds tonight. Those are my three favorite plays.
Yeah, I do have a play in that Mavs-Sixers game. It's an ESPN game, by the way. Should be a good one from Dallas, so make sure you're tuned in to watch that one with a couple of the best players in the NBA on the floor, and Doncic and Embiid. I like the under. It's 210.5. Both these teams are bottom five. They're actually tied for 26 in the NBA in pace. They both have a top 10 defensive rating. Dallas a little bit better at fifth than Philly, which is ninth. Meanwhile, when you look at just the trends this season of over-under, Dallas is 19-6-1 to the under this season at home. By far the best under rate in the NBA. 76% of their games at home have gone under. Philly, while not quite as intensely, is an under team when they're on the road this season. 56% of their games are under. And although Dallas has given up a lot of points and played kind of poorly defensively the last couple of games, that was against OKC and the Orlando Magic. They did have the number one defensive rating in the NBA in the month of January, but the last two games they've played against really, really poor teams in OKC and Orlando. They've given up more than 100 points. I'm going to chalk that up to just kind of taking the opponent too lightly. And especially since I believe they lost that last game to OKC, I think they're going to have a really focused defensive effort in this matchup. They're going to be up for the game anyway, since it's against an MVP candidate like Embiid, and it's on their home floor on ESPN. So I think that pace for both teams will be slow. I think the defenses will be locked in. And even without Kristaps Porzingis on the floor, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Even though the last couple of games they've struggled defensively over the course of the entire season, not only is their pace slower when KP is off the floor, But their defensive rating is slightly better when Kristaps Porzingis is off the floor over the course of more than 1,600 minutes. So I'll trust that, large data sample rather than the minor two-game small sample, where I think they probably just mentally didn't take those opponents seriously as they should, because it's the Magic and the Oklahoma City Thunder. So I like the under 210.5 with those two teams, slow-paced, good defensively. You know, this is something that I've always am going to when I see the Spurs at home in the NBA. I'm going to play the over, and you don't have a better matchup for points in the NBA than the Houston Rockets. That's their opponent tonight. It's a high total of 236.5, but San Antonio is 18-9-1 to the over on their home floor this season. And again, Houston is literally the best possible matchup you can get for offense in the NBA. They're first in pace, they're dead last in defensive rating, and not only are they dead last in defensive rating, they're dead last in turnover rate. So they play fast, they play no defense, and they give you easy free possessions by being careless with the basketball. So it is high, 236.5, but I will not be deterred. I have Spurs Rockets over 236.5. And another game that you may want to wait and see if it gets a little more valuable for you. It was 7.5 this morning. I'm looking right now, and it's 8. But I want to grab the points with those Oklahoma City Thunder on the road against Portland. OKC, again, just coming off without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, a win against those Dallas Mavericks. And they are, despite being one of the worst teams in the NBA, they're like the Detroit Lions of the NBA this season. They don't win basketball games, but they cover. 31-17-2, 64.8% ATS this season, Anita. That's second best in the NBA behind only the Memphis Grizzlies. They're also second best in the NBA when it comes to road ATS, 16-9. Again, they're the Detroit Lions of the NBA this season. They're not good in reality, but they're good for your pocketbook. They're good for your wallet, because the market just every single night, you know, underrates them relative to competition. They're not going to win games, but they're giving Oklahoma City too many points. So even again, without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I'll take the 8. I wouldn't be surprised if it gets up to 8.5, 9, because SGA, their best player, is out, and this game is in Portland. But Portland's not a good team. They don't have Dame. They've struggled all year long, even when Dame was in there. So 8 points, I think OKC, not at the win, but they can keep that close against a Portland team that certainly does not scare me. So that's how I'm looking at the NBA slate with you, Anita. We won't have the Super Bowl until next Sunday, but we do have the Pro Bowl this weekend, right where I'm at in Las Vegas. I don't really have much in terms of betting the Pro Bowl. I'll just say I can't bet an under. It's 61.5, and in a game where defense is not even optional, it's like, don't play defense or you'll be asked to leave the game because no one wants to get hurt. I'm either playing the over of 61.5 or not playing the game at all. Do you have any football you'd like to discuss, whether it's the Pro Bowl this weekend in Vegas or the Super Bowl next weekend in LA?
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting you say that, because the over of 61.5 has not hit since 2015, yeah. Tyler.
Right. I know, but I can't bring myself to do that. Though no one there wants to play defense. They don't want to tackle.
I mean, again, like, you know, how serious are these guys in regard to playing this game? I don't think they are. So a few things. Number one, the AFC has won 25 of 20 has gone 25 and 22, right? So, okay. I mean, really, let's be honest, it's a coin flip, right? Mm-hmm. The AFC has won 4 straight. One would argue that the AFC is a better division right now than the NFC. I think that's a fair argument to make if you look across the board regard to AFC teams and their rosters. Here's why I'm leaning on the AFC, is because they have less replacements, especially at quarterback, right? Like, Cousins is filling in for Rodgers. I don't know, maybe he's going back to Jamaica to jump with his fiance. They were jumping, what was it? You know, the pictures that came out prior to
cliff jumping. Yeah.
Yeah, but they were, what were they? Waterfalls. Thank you.
Yeah.
There it is. Cue the TLC music, please.
That's all we can say. All we can sing, we'll get in trouble because we don't have rights to that.
So you've got Cousins in for Rodgers. You've got Wilson in for Brady. Why is Brady not playing in this? This is his last swan song. Like, dude, like, go to Vegas, play. What are you doing? Anyway, AFC, The AFC has Herbert, Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson. Okay, check. So I'm leaning towards the AFC for those two reasons, and I'm going to roll with the under just because it hasn't gone over since 2015. So
a little wine bet for the Pro Bowl. Maybe, how about that?
Maybe you'll owe me another bottle of wine.
Yeah, I think I owe you a case by this point. So we'll just wait till it gets up to 24, and I'll just send you a nice case of Screaming Eagle with all the money you've helped me win. All right. I guess that'll do it for a Friday edition of the Daily Wager podcast. Of course, Renita and I are on the mic a little more than 10 minutes for the bets you need as promised. Please send her warmest regards as well as she tries to dig out of the snow and ice on the East Coast. And please mother F me while I play golf all weekend here in sunny, lovely Las Vegas. And do us a favor. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow if you're enjoying the show. It helps us out tremendously. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you guys on Monday next week on the Daily Wager Podcast.